Genesis chapter 21. Book of Genesis chapter 21. We'll read verses 14 through verse 19 of Genesis chapter 21. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. In these verses, of course, we see Hagar and Ishmael. The background of such takes us back to Genesis chapter 16. When Abraham was 75 years old, God promised that he and Sarah would have a son. Coming to Genesis 16, 10 years has passed since that promise. And we read in Genesis 16 and verse 1, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children." It's been 10 years since God made the promise. Sarah was aged, well past childbearing years. She became impatient and came up with an idea that Hagar, their Egyptian maid, could be a surrogate mother. So Sarah encourages her husband Abraham to impregnate Hagar. And we read in Genesis 16 and verse 4, "And Hagar conceived." From this conception, of course, came Ishmael. When Abraham was 86 years old. Notice in Genesis 16 and verse 16, "And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram." So he was 75 when God made the promise that he and Sarah would have a son. He's 86 years old. 11 years has passed. Ishmael is born. He and Sarah still do not have a son. Now, once Hagar conceived, we read in Genesis 16 and 4 that she despised Sarah. And though it was Sarah that devised the wicked and sinful plan, when she saw that Hagar despised her, she blamed Abraham. Genesis 16, verse 5. Abraham, in response, told Sarah that he had the authority to do with Hagar as he pleased, as she pleased. And we read in verse 6 of Genesis 16, "And Sarah dealt hardly with her." That is, she began to treat her very harshly and very severely and very unkindly. As a result of this treatment, we are told in verse 6 of Genesis 16 that Hagar fled. Now, there's some very important lessons in all of that, and that is we see an entire household and lives were shaken and disrupted because of sin, because of Sarah's idea that came about because of her impatience. But that's not our message. Reading on in chapter 16, we're told how that the Lord appeared to Hagar, and he told her to return home and to submit herself to Sarah. Then we come to Genesis 21, and we're told in verse 2 that Sarah conceived. From this conception came Isaac, when Abraham was 100 years old. Notice verse 5. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. How old was he when Ishmael was born? He was 86. So how old is Ishmael when Isaac is born? He's 14. He's 14 years old when Isaac is born. We then read in verse 8 of Genesis 21 of the weaning of Isaac. This would have taken place between the ages of 2 and 3. That makes Ishmael between 16 and 17 years old. We need to follow this. This is important. It's presented many times that Ishmael was just a little baby. Nothing could be further from the truth. He's at least 16 or 17. And we see that Isaac, or Ishmael, begins to mock Isaac. This, of course, infuriated Sarah. And she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son." And that brings us to our text. We read verse 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. From this point, from verse 14 to verse 19, we see Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, we've preached from this passage several times just a few weeks ago. We preached from it, emphasized the fact that God opened her eyes. We've also preached from it, emphasizing of God's provision. We want to preach on it today with a little different emphasis, though we still emphasize God's provision. We want to take our thought this morning from verse 14. We notice that Abraham gave her a bottle of water, put it on Hagar's shoulder. And in verse 15, the water ran out of the bottle. And in verse 19, Hagar still has the bottle. So she went to the well that God had showed her, and she filled the bottle. And that is our subject today. Don't throw away the bottle. No matter how empty it becomes, don't throw away the bottle. Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness is a picture of desperate need. It's a picture of our life in this world to a large extent. We see the first thing we notice with them in the wilderness is that there was a drastic change in their circumstances. Because of sin, things became very tense in Abraham's tent for years. 14 years passed from the birth of Ishmael to the birth of Isaac. Things were very tense. in those 14 years. But things came to a head when Sarah said to her husband, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son." Notice it's her son, my son. There's a message in that also. And then we read, Abraham rose up early in the morning, supplied Hagar and Ishmael with bread and a bottle of water. And no doubt Abraham gave them what he thought would be sufficient for their journey. They are then told to vacate the premise. They are expelled from the security, from the shelter of Abraham's tent provided. And then we read, and she departed. Circumstances have drastically changed for Hagar and Ishmael. Hagar and Ishmael left that day with all their future plans and dreams shattered. They're all gone. Hagar and Ishmael left that day with nowhere to go. Where are they going to go? They have nowhere to go. And they have no idea of what they are going to do. So as we picture them leaving Abraham's tent, they are headed into uncertainty. And they are homeless. They have bread and they have water. The place of Hagar and Ishmael, we read in verse 14, they are in the wilderness. That is, they are in the desert of Beersheba. A wilderness, a desert, was not a place where you would expect to find a grassy knoll. It's not a place where you would expect to find a flower garden. It's a very dismal and grim place. It's an empty place. It's a solitary and scary place. It's a very unsettling place. A place of desolation. A place of great trial. A place of great difficulty. It is a place where you can expect to struggle. It is a place where you can expect to find trouble and distress. And it is an apt picture, again, of the world in which we live. A woman and her only son, betrayed and cast out from the comforts and the provisions of Abraham's tent. And where are they? They're in the wilderness of Beersheba. There are dangers everywhere. And they are extremely vulnerable. The journey of Hagar and Ishmael is recorded here. Again in verse 14, we see that they wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Doesn't tell us how long, but they wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. That is, they roamed that wilderness. They just kind of drifted and strayed through the wilderness with no real direction and really to no avail. So there they are, wandering in the sand of the desert. And as they do, the hot desert sun beats down upon them, and occasionally they would stop, eat some bread, take a drink of water, and move on. A little while later, they would become thirsty again, and they would drink a little more water, enabling them to go on through the desert sand. This would continue to happen, and it is becoming more and more of a chore to walk in that sand. And the water is getting further and further to the bottom of that bottle. And as the water gets further and further to the bottom of that bottle, they continue to stop and drink, but now they're just taking little sips, trying to conserve every bit they can. And eventually, verse 15 happens. And the water was spent in the bottle. Now, if you're in a desert, those are dreadful words. If you're driving down Route 75 and you run out of drink, that's not so dreadful. You can stop and get more. If you're in a desert and you run out of water, that's dreadful. And the bottle and the water was spent in the bottle. That water that was so vital to their existence was used up. That water that was so crucial for them to get through that desert, it's gone. And the water was spent in the bottle. The bottle was dry. There was plenty of hot sand everywhere you look. But there's no water. That bottle is dry. But I want you to notice, Hagar never threw away the bottle. She still had it when God showed her the well. So there they are. The bottle is empty. There is no relief in sight. All they can see is the desert. And again, it's obvious from verse 19 that though the bottle was empty, Hagar did not throw away the bottle. She never discarded the bottle. They are tired. The bottle is empty. It is grueling out there in the desert, and the bottle is empty. We picture them physically and mentally drained. And it is becoming increasingly difficult to lift their feet out of the sand and take that next step. And eventually their walk turns to staggering and perhaps even stumbling. They are utterly exhausted. And they can't go much further. Their mouths are parched. Perhaps their tongues are beginning to swell. And they turn the bottle upside down, hoping to find just a drop, and the bottle is empty. And perhaps after turning the bottle upside down and there'd be no water, they would get their finger in there and just try to get every bit of moisture they could. But the bottle was empty. It was empty. But Hagar did not throw away the bottle. She never threw away the bottle. Now, at some point in the journey, Hagar realizes that Ishmael is dying. He's not going to make it. In an attempt to give him some relief from the hot sun, it says that she put him under one of the shrubs. And there they are, in terrible anguish. She's still got the bottle. It's dry, but she's still got the bottle. We read in verse 16 that she was not able to bear the sight of her son in his dying agonies. So she went from that shrub about a bow shot. It says that she lifted up her voice and wept. And we get the picture in our minds. And there she sits Her son is dying. The water was spent in the bottle. She's a wreck. She's in a state of panic. Her determination to go on has been drained. She is distraught. She is overcome. She's at her wit's end. She's in a situation that she cannot fix. So what does she do? She lifts up her voice and weeps. And if you can listen in, on that day, the sounds of her weeping are sounds of heartbreak, the sounds of inconsolable grief and sorrow, the sounds of despondency. But as you picture her there, do not lose sight of this fact. She still has the bottle. She has not thrown away the bottle. It's dry. It seems like it's useless. She has not thrown away the bottle. So there she sits. She's exhausted. Death is all around her. She has more heartache than she can bear, more hurt, more sorrow and grief that she can handle. Her burden is heavier than she can carry. And the water that was so essential to her life and her son's life has been depleted. The bottle is dry. And then we read in verse 17, the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven. So there she is in this place of desolation and misery and despair. And the voice of Almighty God breaks through everything. And He speaks. And He speaks directly to her. How far had she wandered in that wilderness? Well, we don't know as far as distance. But she wandered until all her food and water was gone. She wandered until all her strength was gone. She wandered until all her hope was gone. And there she sits. The bottle is empty. But she hasn't thrown it away. She receives a promise from God in verses 17 and 18. In verse 19, God opened her eyes. And as a result, she saw a well of water. There in that desert, right where she was, there was a well of God's providing. In that well was what she and her son so desperately needed. Within her very reach was what she needed. God had already made provision in that desert. God's mercy and grace had already prepared for Hagar what she needed. The well was there before Hagar got there. That's always the case. While her heart was breaking, and while she was drawing her breath in agony, there's that God-provided well. And while Hagar is going through this terrible time of tragedy, this time of affliction and adversity, there were resources provided by God. Next we read, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. Praise God, she never threw away the bottle. That's her means of receiving the water. Don't ever throw away your means of receiving the water. She was able to take that dry and empty bottle and fill it with God's provision. And she can now give Ishmael drink. And she was able to drink from that bottle. I imagine she's pretty happy at this point that she didn't throw away the bottle. That leads us to application to you and I. Like Hagar and Ishmael, our walk and journey, and along the road of life and in our situations and circumstances, our bottle may become dry. Our bottle may become dry. Our soul may become parched. And our spirit may become dry and empty. That can happen. But whatever happens, don't throw away your bottle. Don't throw away your means of receiving the blessings of God. What a horrible thing it would be for God to show you a well and you have nothing to get the water out of that well with because you threw it away. Don't throw away your bottle. The wilderness of this evil and wicked and vile and antichrist world has a very powerful draining effect upon spirituality. And at times, our water is depleted. You can deny it. You can be carrying around an empty bottle and you say, oh, my water's not out. I got news for you. You can deny it all you want to. That won't put water in the bottle. The bottle's empty. It happens. Our water becomes depleted at times. And you may just be, at that point, stumbling along, feeling I can't go on another step. But in those times, don't throw away your bottle. Don't throw it away. In the wilderness of this world, where the enemies, and the haters, and the despisers of God reside, and where we are constantly confronted, bombarded by the programs and agenda of Satan, and where we are constantly challenged by his philosophies and fantasies and his lies and his ways of life, during those times in such a wilderness, our bottle may become dry. But don't throw it away. Don't throw away your bottle. In the midst of the wilderness, when all you can see is the desert sand, and your bottle is dry, and there's no prospect of anything getting better, don't throw away your bottle. Don't throw away your bottle. We learn this from Hagar. Now, with Hagar and Ishmael, they come to a point where she was sure that Ishmael was going to die. Came to the point where she said, this is the end. I've gone as far as I can go. And however difficult your wilderness journey may become, and no matter how grim it may appear, and though your bottle might be empty, you can look into it, but it's empty. You can put your finger down in there, but it's empty. Don't throw it away. Don't throw away your bottle. During our wilderness journey, You may become weary with the journey. And your walk may become very heavy. Your walk may become a tremendous chore. Just to take the next step is a chore. And your desire to go on has vanished. Your bottle is empty. And there is sand everywhere. And you become discouraged. Don't throw away your bottle. Don't throw it away. Don't ever throw away the bottle. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 10 verse 35 said, cast not away your confidence. That's faith, which hath great recompense of reward. There's a lot of people that have thrown the bottle away. They've thrown it away. They've thrown faith away. Don't quit believing. The bottle may be empty, but that bottle is your means of receiving water. Don't throw it away. Don't throw away the bottle. During your wilderness journey, you may feel yourself being pulled in by the sand. And you are struggling to make it. And you go to take a drink of water. And the bottle is empty. And at that point, you may be tempted to think, what's the use? All is hopeless. And you may be tempted at that moment to just throw the bottle into the sand. Don't throw it away. However long it's been empty, don't throw it away. Don't throw away the bottle. You may even feel that you have reached the end of God's supply. But don't throw away your bottle. Why? Because out there in that wilderness, God has a well. You may not see it right now, but I'm telling you, out there in the wilderness, God has a well. Don't throw away your bottle. It's your means of receiving from that well. In that wilderness, God has a well. Whatever your wilderness is, God has a well. God has abundant supply. And in that well, is the relief that you need. In that well is the light that you need. In that well is the fulfillment that you need. In that well is the strength that you need. In that well is the joy and the encouragement and the assurance and the peace that you need. Don't throw away your bottle. In that well is the victory that you need. Don't throw away the bottle. It goes out there in the wilderness, somewhere, God has a well of abundance for you. In our text, Ishmael is over here. He's dying. And over here is Hagar. And she's weeping. There is heartbreak. There is despondency. There is helplessness. And the bottle is empty. But she hadn't thrown it away. In verse 17, God called to Hagar out of heaven. God had not lost track of her. And He doesn't lose track of us either. You can wander in the wilderness for years. You can wander in the wilderness for decades. And your bottle can be empty for a long, long, long time. A lot of people, a lot of God's people, been walking through this world for a long time with an empty bottle. But don't throw it away. Worst thing you can do is throw that bottle away. Because you know what's going to happen? If you throw that bottle down into the sand and you walk away, and you may walk for a long time, and you come to the place where you think this is the end, and God speaks, and God opens your eyes, and you see a well. Where's your bottle? It's way, way back there. What am I going to have to do now? I'm going to have to go all the way back there and get my bottle and come all the way back. That's pretty hard. But that's what happens. You throw your bottle away. Wherever you threw it, that's your ability to receive. Wherever you threw it, you've got to go back there and find the bottle. You'll have to dig through the sand to find that bottle. I'm telling you, it's much better, just don't throw it away. And then when God shows you a well, you've got the bottle. And you can fill it. So she saw God's provision for her in a desert. And we read, she went and filled the bottle with water. There is a well at hand, and in that well is everything that you need. Don't throw away your bottle. God has provided you a well where you can find satisfaction, where you can find spiritual rejuvenation. And you can take, if you haven't thrown it away, you can take that empty and dry bottle and fill it and drink. But how sad. I mean, it's sad enough when the bottle gets empty. But how sad when you finally get to the well and you have no bottle because you threw it away. What do I need this dry, empty bottle for? And you just throw it away. Why you need it is you have to keep believing out there in the wilderness, God has a well for me. And I'm going to hold on to this bottle until He shows it to me. And then I'll be able to drink. But there are some, they've thrown away their bottle years ago. And if God ever does bring them to that well, they're going to have to go back years and retrieve the bottle. Don't throw away your bottle. Our bottles can become empty. Hagar could have said, this is Abraham's fault. He didn't give me enough water. You blame Abraham all the way through that wilderness, it won't fill your bottle. Your bottle will still be dry. This is Sarah's fault. Blame Sarah all you want to. That won't fill your bottle. Won't make you less thirsty. But God does have a well. And whatever wilderness you and I wander in, and however long we've wandered in that wilderness, somewhere out there in that wilderness, there's a well. And I'll tell you how to find it. The same way Hagar did. She lifted up her eyes and wept. She cried out unto God. And God showed her a well. She looked, that's why I hung onto this bottle. Oh, I'm so glad back there when I was tempted to throw away the bottle that I didn't throw it away. And she went to that well and filled her bottle. You ever wonder? I know you do. Why so many of God's people are so depressed, so discouraged? Why, you'd be discouraged too if you're sitting in front of a well and you threw your bottle away years ago and you have no means of getting that water. That's worse than not having a well at all, than having a well, but you have no way of getting to it because you threw your bottle away. Yes, we may have to walk around with an empty bottle for a while. God will empty our bottles at times to teach us valuable lessons. Don't ever throw your bottle away. You say, well, it's of no use to me now. No, it might not be right that second, but somewhere out there God has a well, and you're going to need that bottle. Don't throw it away. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.